I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
BT and Sal, C-Mac is in the house today. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Okay.
Did you two think I was sitting this one out? The king is back. Season back on. No way, BT, I'm letting you two Yankee homers sit there on a day where we should be celebrating the King! King Cohen getting a DH! Finally, we have a season to be excited for!
Uh-huh.
Yes!
Uh-huh.
Oh, bow down to the King! Cohen!
Yep. They could have signed the seventh bullpen arm, and Sal would have still played the music just to get away from boxing up his house and get away from his family today.
I not even my wife is going to stop me today. Hey, honey, you go to Lowe's. You get the boxes. I got a deal with BT and C-Mac about the King. J.D. Martinez. It happened. Yeah. I don't even believe it. Look what a brilliant move by the King, waiting this out. $4.5 million deferred money. They get a guy finally. This is a real hitter. 33 homers over 100 ribbies. Vientos, see you later. Back to the minors. Met season. Back on, baby.
I love it. Yeah. Sal, you should be pumped, man. Like, I feel it. We can hear it, obviously. I don't think you're wrong. There's something to be enthused about. I'm with you.
I'm excited.
But you were just as excited about the plan. That's my only point. You guys were as excited about the plan. Over and over again, how smart Cohen is. You got to get a look at these guys. We're going to build through the farm system. We're going to have an idea about these guys. You can't continue to ask these questions. J.D. Martinez locks up the DH spot. I want to be able to use that for Alonso. I want to be able to use that for Alvarez. I have a bunch of different stuff I could use that spot for. It doesn't make sense. He doesn't have a glove. And then today it's... just as you said, Cohen is back.
I was accepting of the plan. I didn't like it, but I was actually, you know what I did? I did like the Mets did. I lowered my expectations. I didn't think they were going to get him. Right. I believed they were going to go into the season with Vientos, who I've been saying for months is crap. I don't want to watch Mark Vientos. I made fun of that lineup yesterday. McNeil hitting fourth. What are you kidding me? Vientos, Beatty, Bader, automatic outs. You put Martinez in there. And for the record, let me be clear. I don't even love J.D. Martinez because I worry about him being older and falling off the cliff eventually. However, this is a low-risk move. It is a high reward. It's not like he's 3 years removed from a big season. Last year he had a big season. It's exactly what they need. And even if it doesn't work out, it still gets Met fans excited less than a week from opening day. We're back on, baby. Let's go, Mets. Hey, BT, play that song, baby. Yeah. Play that song.
Yep.
Have a good show, guys.
No, Sal, hold on. Before we let you go, so, you know, you broke the rule, which is a problem.
He's a king, BT. Acting like a king.
Sal.
I would have been in full gear today if I were there. Crown and all.
Sal, you broke the rule.
Oh, BT, this is just the beginning, baby. Hey, maybe Howell will follow suit. Hey, Howell, wake up. Go get Jordan Montgomery. You need a pitcher. Steve Cohen doesn't care about the tax.
Get him out of here. Now he starts morphing into his Yankee stuff. Now we don't need to deal with him. I'll deal with him on Tuesday when he gets back. All right, Sal, good luck boxing up. How about that? Go to Lowe's and get your own boxes. I got a DH. Good stuff.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Two things for you with Judge.
Yes.
What was your level of fear? Whatever the most amount of concern was, whatever that was for you,
right.
What was the depth of the fear? And then secondarily, or secondly here, give me a ballpark figure on games you expect him to play this year. Number one, level of fear with the abdomen to start.
This particular injury?
Yes.
Minimal. Three?
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Three,
I wasn't that juiced up.
Three,
by
four.
It.
I wasn't that worried about it either. It didn't seem like anything that was hampering him. And the one thing, I know a lot of Yankee fans get on the Yankees for being disingenuous, for lack of a better term, or, you know, always taking the brighter side of a problem, and then you get to the bottom of it. Judge typically has not. Like Judge comes out, and when Judge speaks and Judge tells me it's not a big deal, I felt better about it almost immediately.
Okay.
Even though
they kept pushing it back, I was going to hit tomorrow.
Because it's spring training. It doesn't bother me at all. It really didn't concern me really that much at all. How many games do I expect him to play this year? I mean, that speaks to...
Let me ask you in a better way, because that's just a complete guess.
Yeah.
What would you sign up for? Like, what would be bare minimum low, that, and then what would make you happy?
I can't sign up for any less than 140.
Yeah, that was my number two.
Yeah, I mean he's got to play at least 140 games,
mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, the overall arcing conversation though about Judge's overall injury issue, I'm very concerned because it's always something. And even though a lot of it has been fluky stuff, he runs into a wall, he gets hit by a pitch, he breaks a rib diving
in the outfield.
Like, I'm going to invoke a name right now that Yankee fans don't want to hear, but Jacoby Ellsbury was injured all the time too, and it was broken ankle sliding into second base. Injury prone doesn't just mean I'm prone to soft tissue damage. I'll pull a calf muscle, I'll pull this muscle.
Yep.
There is something about his frame, the level of intensity he plays the game with. There's just something with him where I am concerned that this will be an every year thing, much like it is for Stanton. Although Stanton's can't run to second without pulling a hamstring.
Oh, please tell me you're not banking on Stanton to do it. I know he's had a good couple of days. Banking on Stanton to do anything this year, are you?
Are you kidding me? Yes, I'm banking on Stanton to have a monster year.
What is your affinity with this guy?
What's your displeasure with him?
Because he never plays, and he can't run, and he can't field, and he can't throw. Outside of that, he's Ted Williams.
That's not true. Babe Ruth. That's not true. He can field and throw. When's the last time he cost him? He just doesn't have...
He played in the playoffs with the Astros. He made one great catch, and then he took a step forward on a ball that went over his head.
He can't stay healthy. That I totally agree with you. But since when? Like, does a guy who does and does everything we ask and tries as hard as he does and cares as much that Yankee fans get all over, and who's been as productive in the postseason as Stanton has, that we get all over to this level? I know he's made money, but he hasn't been. This isn't, Pavano, where, he bruised his ass on the bench and then he was gone and we're wondering where the hell he was, and his teammates like Mike Mussina are calling him out. This guy's trying his ass off.
They like
this
him.
Guy tries desperately. He's changed his whole body. He's done everything you could possibly.
It took him long enough. I mean, you could have changed it 3 years ago when he first started getting hurt all the time. Let me say this,
I don't know,
Chris,
why we hate him.
I don't,
it's almost like we're not rooting for him.
We're
rooting for him to be off out of the team because they think it's what's for the better than the team.
I do hope that they buy him out at some point because you can't run and you can't say, but.
If he's good, the lineup goes completely different.
Listen, he's going to run into some fastballs and he's going to hit some bombs. Mm-hmm. And he's been, up until last time, a very good, better than Judge in the postseason by a mile.
Yeah.
I don't hate Stanton. I actually respect his transparency.
Yeah.
I do. Like, he stands up there like a man, owns the failures and the injuries, and calls himself out. He looks in the mirror with no issue, and I wish more people did that. I really respect him. The thing, and I can't speak for the others, what bothers me about Stanton is because of the $32.5 million, right, it's preventing the Yankees from doing things that could win them a World Series.
I understand, but I mean, it just seems like, because we like to tout ourselves as the kind of fans who will get behind a guy as long as he gives effort, uh-huh, right? That's what we pride ourselves on. And yet this guy's done everything, or guys who come in the clutch and show up in the big moment. He's shown up in the big moment. He's been clutch for them. He's worked his ass off to try and stay healthy. He just can't. Mm-hmm. So I understand your point. The money does make things difficult for the New York Yankees, but the hatred and the...
It's a little overboard. I'm not going to battle you. It is a little over.
I'm rooting for him, like I told you the first time we were together. I'm rooting for him as hard as any Yankee I've ever rooted for in my life. And if he is...
In your life?
In my lifetime.
Who's your favorite all-time Yank? Mattingly, Jeter?
I guess the answer is Jeter. When I first came
guess?
Up, it was
Wade. Who's your favorite? What do you mean you
because
guess?
It's like the one thing
I know the world. Who's your favorite Yankee? Mattingly.
Because it's like asking me my favorite children.
No, it's not.
It's not. I love them all. Yeah, how can I like anyone more than anyone else?
Because that's called being a dad, being a fan. It's a little bit less rules, dude.
How do you honestly, as a Yankee fan? I'm sorry. As a Yankee fan who grew up in the 90s go, oh, I like Derek Jeter much better than I like Bernie Williams? Like, how do you
do
that?
Well, my guy's Mattingly. That's my delineation. I will never love anybody as an athlete even remotely close to I love Mattingly.
Because you grew up in a time period where they didn't win championships, whether they had good teams or not. They had winning seasons. And he was the guy. Mm-hmm. And while Jeter was the guy, I also had a bunch of guys who hit game-winning home runs and won championships.
Of course.
And so it's not as easy to just say, yeah, that's my guy.
I'm not saying it's easy, but as a big-time fan, you got to have a favorite player. Otherwise, what the hell are you doing?
I disagree.
Who's your favorite player?
I don't have to have a favorite player.
Stop telling me
how fandom has to work. Yeah. All right, it doesn't. Yeah, I don't have
Yankee fans how to act with Stanton.
Yes,
it's okay.
I certainly can. Absolutely,
this guy writes
I can.
Rules, this guy.
That's right.
He's a trip. Well, I love C-Mac.
Oh no, I'm so wait. Wait a second. Going to the field and booing a player who works his ass off is not the same as I have to narrow down my favorite guy to one particular player. It's not the same thing. I'm just saying. I grew up. My first Yankee that I fell in love with. My first guy was Wade Boggs.
Boggsy.
Wade Boggs.
That was when
I first started watching Yankees. I was unaware of his Red Sox history.
He was
the third baseman. My dad played third base. He was like, my dad got me a Wade Boggs glove. I was a Wade Boggs guy.
I loved Boggs. I loved Boggsy.
Loved Boggs.
On the horse. I was at the game there in 96.
That's one of my favorite moments is him on the horse in 96 because I loved Wade Boggs. But now, is he my favorite Yankee of all time? How could I say that?
When
I got Bernie and Jeter Paul O'Neill.
We're going to call you indecisive C-Mac.
Miguel Cairo. I mean, the list goes on and on.
I love
Miguel Cairo.
Mariano Duncan, right?
Yeah, sure. Luis Soho. I love those secondary guys.
I know what you mean.